You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of this show, Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. And today, we're doing something fun and special. I got someone awesome joining me on the line, the PA announcer for the Pacers himself, but I got to do this correctly. On the other line, 6 foot something from the University of Illinois, Tim Sinclair. Tim, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Well done. Be my backup if you like.
What are the requirements? Do I have to be able to say Giannis's last name perfectly to get the job? Because if so,
maybe not perfectly, but consistently.
This wasn't my planned first question, but now I'm going to make this my first question. What's the hardest name you've had to prep for? You've done all sports. So, Tim, I could just read your Twitter bio, but you do PA for the Pacers, the Chicago Fire, University of Illinois, a Big Ten tournament, the All-Star game this year. I could go on and on and on. What's the hardest name that you've had to learn before a game or an event?
Giannis was pretty difficult. You know, Antetokounmpo doesn't just roll off the tongue, and it also isn't quite, you know, if you look at it too long, your brain starts getting confused. Sviatoslav Mihailuk, probably from the Pistons, has a lot of letters in it. There's another one that I just saw the other day when my boys were playing 2K. I think he plays for the Wizards, and I'm blanking on what it is now. It's like Timotei Luwawu something or other.
Oh, Luwawu Cabarro, yeah.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah. It's just a lot. It's just like so many syllables. Yeah, so, you know, in soccer, I had a Kennedy Igboananike, which was kind of a fun one.
You're still all over him, too.
Yeah. So, you know, but once you get them, then they're fun and they're easy. But it's just that process of learning to not look at all the consonants that are strung together or whatever. There's an Illini women's basketball player whose first name is Nancy, which is very easy. But her last name is Panagiotopoulou, which is not as easy. No. And there's a lot of vowels in that one.
Yeah, the Greek names will get you.
Yep.
Like hockey, and hockey PA has to be so hard, right?
Hockey is not easy. Soccer and tennis also not easy because they're very international sports. And so, you know, one minute you'll be saying something French and then something African and then something Greek. And you got to know a little bit of everything.
You're all over it. So unfortunately for you right now, there's no sports. Nothing for you to PA. So two questions. One.
Is that why I've watched so much Netflix?
is there anything at home you've been PAing? Like, just general things that go on about your house that you could
You know what? I've tried to come up with stuff. I really haven't. The only thing that's sort of keeping me sort of interested is I do an hour-long daily TV show here in Illinois, and so I get a little bit of time every day to talk, but my co-host and I are quarantining ourselves 1 week at a time, so she's there 1 week while I do the show from home, and then we switch. So okay. That's been keeping me sort of busy.
That's good. I was going to ask, well, beyond work stuff, you said Netflix. What have you been doing to stay busy in these times?
I've done a little organizing of the closets. The place is clean. A lot of Netflix. Tried to get outside when it's decent and ride the bike or walk or something a little bit. But yeah, it's been a lot of busy work that I can keep up with. And then, you know, wishing and hoping that sports just get back already.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you happen to watch Tiger King in your Netflix?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
I wish I could dedicate time on the show to talk about it. It was something.
A train wreck from beginning to end.
I've never felt more normal in my life.
Right? Oh, I know. And I'm thankful to have all of my limbs and teeth because it seemed like everybody in that show was missing something.
Something. Yeah, something. Well, let's back up in your life. When sports were happening, Pacers was not your first PA gig, obviously. What got you into public address announcing and what got you to the Pacers specifically?
It actually started when the Illini basketball team was making a change from their longtime PA guy, Jim Shepard. And I'd been in radio for a while and loved sports. And someone said, hey, I think they're looking for a new PA guy. You should apply. Well, I did, but they'd already hired somebody. And so it was about a year before I heard back, and Illinois said, hey, we've got a baseball game. Do you want to come give it a shot? And I said, sure. And I went and did that. I think I was pretty terrible, but I enjoyed it. And then I wasn't bad enough to keep them from calling again, because in the fall they had me, I think, do maybe a soccer match and wrestling or swimming and diving or something. And over the course of the next few years, they kept adding more and more and more. And pretty soon I was doing all of the Olympic sports, as they call them, the non-revenue sports on campus. And that kind of got me hooked and gave me a lot of practice doing a lot of different types of events and different types of buildings. And it was in 2011 when the Cubs were looking for a new announcer on my radio show, we thought, oh, that'd be kind of a fun bit for me to apply to be the next PA guy at Wrigley. And 3,000 other people thought it'd be fun to apply as well. But kind of remarkably, I ended up with a top two finish in that competition. I went to Wrigley twice and auditioned and met Ernie Banks and the Ricketts family. And I think that's what kind of led me to think, you know what, maybe I can do this for more than just kind of a paid hobby. And it was not too many years later that I got the Chicago Fire job with a very similar YouTube competition. Then the Illini asked me to start doing basketball and some football a few years after that. And then the Pacers job came open, and I applied and worked my way through the channels there. And, man, it's been an incredible experience.
Yeah, you've done everything. The Olympic sports, like track and stuff, I think – that would be kind of hard.
Yeah, I did do track a couple of times. Wrestling is hard if you don't know what's going on, which I didn't to start. gymnastics, it's just a lot happening at the same time. And everything has its own sort of unique qualities about it that you got to learn. Right. But, you know, in the end, it's all kind of same thing. Be clear, concise, correct, and help take the crowd to either where they should be or what they're already feeling, just reflecting that. And if you can do that, I think you've done a good job.
Hey guys, want to take a small little break here to talk to you about the lovely people at MyBookie, who I talked about earlier this week, who know that, of course, sports are stopped and you're going insane, but you can stay entertained with access to your favorite games such as blackjack, roulette, slots, war, all your favorite card games. Doesn't matter whether you're out on the front lines or quarantined at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end thanks to MyBookie. Your favorite squad might be sidelined because of the pandemic, but don't sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action as well as all your favorite games straight from the court in NBA 2K and more. Plus, you can always take part and make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can visit mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all one word, all caps, for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all caps, to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit. Mybookie.ag, you spin, you win, you get paid.
Yeah, man, I don't know if I could do it because, like, I get excited about the stupidest little things in basketball, right? Like a good screen, you know.
Right, yeah, I'm not supposed to say anything for that.
Jump out of my seat and get the crowd on their feet. So you've been with the Pacers for a few years now. That's how I obviously have crossed paths with you. What has been your favorite moment so far since you have joined the Pacers organization?
At an actual Pacers game, I would say last year, Vic hitting the three against Boston, before he got injured, was a pretty cool moment. That was probably my first in an NBA arena buzzer beater kind of shot that, you know, the place just exploded. And I remember the sound coming, you know, from the crowd, of course, but then, you know, everybody's mics are open and I've got, you know, my ears are sort of picking up different people's headsets all over the place. So it was coming at me in every possible direction. And I remember thinking, this is really, really cool. So that's probably the highlight of a game, although the Raptors game this year was pretty great. And there were a few other ones that were really, really cool. The playoffs were cool, even though we lost both of them last year, both games. You know, that kind of atmosphere is always a lot of fun. But I've also, you know, gotten to travel to India with the team, which was incredible. That's how I met, you know, the executives with the NBA who asked me to do the All-Star game. So there really hasn't been a bad moment yet. It's hard to pick just one favorite.
I have All-Star game on the list. You're ruining my order of operations.
Oh, sorry. Well, you go at whatever order you need.
No, I can't. To me, like – in a moment with Vic against Boston, he got the steal right after too, right? Like, I feel like I'd forget to say, like, for three after he made a three, and I'd just say his name or something like that. It just,
well, and at a certain point, it doesn't matter, right? Because the crowd's so loud, nobody can really hear me anyway. I'm just making something up. Right. I'm just there for all the video afterward that they can pipe me in for those things, but nobody in the moment actually hears it.
I love that. That's great. Did you have any good playoff memories? Like the Bojan game, I feel like had to be really exciting.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a downer with, you know, losing both and being swept by Boston. I've never liked the Celtics anyway, so it was just kind of, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But you also go, I mean, I don't ever want to get used to the job. I don't ever want to feel like, just going to another game, whether it's playoff or not. I feel like I'm pinching myself every time I get to do any kind of event, because most people don't get to do that for their job, right? So I have a really hard time feeling like any of it was just sort of ho-hum, because none of it is.
Right. You have a favorite part of the game? Like, is starting lineups like, oh, well, this is it, you know, push-ups right before, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's where you make your money, I suppose, is that 2-minute stretch from that first horn to tip of introducing the teams and the video. And, you know, that whole thing is a lot of fun. I also enjoy certain times when we've gotten to recognize people who've done really cool things or who are big names on the court for whatever reason. There was a lady last year, I remember Vic gave his Kia to, mm-hmm. And she was working in the community doing some things. And so getting to be a part of that and recognizing her is always a lot of fun. I wouldn't call it fun, but it is a privilege to be a part of reads. Like we had the moment of silence for David Stern, for example, and some of those others that they're weightier situations that every, you know, all eyes and ears are kind of on you. And it's, again, not fun, but it's a privilege to be a part of those ceremonies.
Does it take you in those serious moments like a long time to get used to your heart not just exploding out of your chest beating if you mess up those words? Like everybody will remember it.
Yeah, it is. You know, I really don't get nervous.
That's good.
Pretty much ever, unless I feel unprepared, which has happened once or twice. But generally, I just get excited or anxious. Like I want to do this already. I want to jump in there and do what it is we've prepared to do. The David Stern one, you knew. I want to say that we were playing Denver.
Correct. First game of the year, right?
Yeah, and
2020.
And so their radio and TV guys had come over and said they were going to take our audio, and I knew our TV and radio guys were going to, and of course you've got 20,000 people in the arena. And you kind of forget, because I'm used to so often talking over music, what it's like when it is silent. And so there was no music, obviously everybody was completely quiet, and that you tend to overthink a little bit when you're reading like that, knowing that everybody's listening to every syllable of every word. But that's why I love it.
That had to feel like 2 hours of talking.
That right. It was probably 30 or 40 seconds, but man, it feels like a long time.
Okay. So we got to my All-Star game point. You already brought it up. That had to be the coolest thing ever, right? In your home state too.
Yeah. I would say if I had to pick a highlight of my career, and I feel like I've gotten to do a lot of cool stuff, that was it. You know, you got the dunk contest, 3-point contest, skills challenge Saturday night, got to do all of that, and then come back on Sunday and do what really turned out to be a great NBA All-Star game. It was in Chicago, of course, so being from Illinois, that was really cool. And they made it interesting, right? They did the 24-point thing, which was fantastic, and I thought the finish, other than ending on a free throw, I thought everything about it was perfect, and it was really a whole lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah, I really wonder how they can make a rule to make it not end on a free throw, because the Elam ending was awesome, right? Guys were trying, and then just for that to be how it ends is just disappointing, I feel like.
I would assume that somebody might be able to go, you know what, we'd rather have a game-winning shot not everybody just standing there while someone makes a free throw. So hopefully, one, they continue the plan that they worked out this year, and then two, perhaps they can tweak it a little to keep it from ending on a free throw.
Yeah, I don't know if you went to Big Three when it was in Indy last summer, but
that, I did not.
Those games always end on a shot, and it is very fun. It is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Did you catch yourself at All-Star, like rooting for Sabonis in the Skills Challenge or anything like that?
Yeah, you know what? Skills goes so fast. It feels like it's over in a hurry. And one of my things is I'm keeping track of, and there are some other people doing it too, but I'm keeping track of the bracket as it happens, right? Because I have to, in a couple of minutes, read the winners in the right order of who's going first, who's going second. And so I was obviously hoping Sabonis would do well, but it felt like I introduced them, they went, I was writing down the winner for the previous competition, and then by the time I was done writing that down, I looked up and that one was over, and you were doing it again.
Right.
So that one went really, really quickly for me. I was, of course, pulling for Demonis, and having him in the finals was really, really cool. And he nearly pulled it out.
Yeah, that's as close as he could have gotten. Did you enjoy Common's player introductions as a PA guy?
You know, I did. There was still some talk the day before as to, or maybe 2 days before, whether I was going to do them or he was going to do them.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
I would have loved to hear you do those.
Well, he was writing that. If I had done them, they would not have been in rhyme.
Oh, okay.
Like he did. I think that was the thing, is like he was still putting them together, and he was definitely going to do the performance at the beginning, which was just fantastic.
Right.
And you know, it took a long time for him introducing him that way, but I thought it was great, and I had no qualms about him doing that. The other kind of funny thing was DJ Khaled did the four player introductions for the dunk contest. I did all the judges, and then I did all the 3-point contest and the skills challenge stuff. But in the moment, they were afraid that they didn't have time to get the cameras over to where Khaled was and get everything in place. And so with like 30 seconds before we were coming back from break, they handed me a script and said, be ready. you may have to do this. And they ended up getting a camera to Khaled just in time so he could get those out. And then I went ahead and did the judges.
Man, that would have been awesome. I feel like that would be a highlight of your career, reading like that.
Well, even introducing those guys, you know, like
yeah.
It's just being a part of it at all. And then, of course, I went back and watched TNT's coverage and listened to how they used my audio. And that's kind of a thrill, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah. So the classic, anyone who's been on TV or done any announcing question, I have to ask you if you have any good hot mic stories.
You know,
laughter is never a good start to that answer.
Yeah, yeah. I've lived my life with an open mic for a long, long time. And so generally, I'm really, really good about it. I've had a couple of slips where I thought my mic was off, but it was on. The one that comes to mind, and nothing's been terrible, but I had one at an Illini game couple years ago. We had just done an on-court contest where these kids are supposed to put on an actual size player uniform and shoes and then go down to the other end and shoot a layup. And the first one to get to, they're like 9 and 10 year old kids. Well, for some reason, they were having a very difficult time with every single stage. And my rule has always been, if they're college age or above, I can make fun of them.
Okay.
If they are high school or younger, I have to encourage them as you're sort of calling the play-by-play as they're doing it, because you don't want to offend anyone's kids. But once you're in college, you know, you're fair game. So these kids were young, and I was trying to go, all right, you know, shorts are next, now to the shoes. And they're getting to the shoes. Well, I guess the shoes were already tied, and they were tied too tightly, and these 9 or 10 year olds happen to have bigger feet than most. And so they just could not get the shoes on. And finally they did, but neither one was a basketball player. And so this was taking an eternity. We were getting ready to come back from our commercial break to start the game. And they're shooting. I mean, the first kid, it's supposed to be a layup. He lets it go from just inside the 3-point line and I believe cleared the backboard. hit absolutely nothing. And it took for finally somebody made a shot, and I was exhausted trying to call it. And I just leaned back and I thought I flipped my mic off, and I didn't. And I said, holy crap. and apparently, well, I was hoping that no one heard it, because I didn't hear it come through the mic. I just knew my mic was on. But turns out, from the number of people who came up to me afterward, it most definitely was heard inside the building. So,
is there audio somewhere? Like, can I go watch this?
You know, I don't, not that I know of. I haven't seen it or heard it yet.
You buried it in your backyard or something?
I'm sure somebody has it somewhere. They always save that crap.
Well, Tim, this was fun. Thank you so much for coming on for a little talk about these trying times and your career and all that stuff. It's been fun to catch up.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime. And man, MLS is on hold and NBA is on hold. And so I'm ready to get out there and do something, but I'll keep binging stuff on Netflix until then, I guess.
Do some PA for some Netflix shows. I'm sure people
right.
will
Ladies and gentlemen, Ozark 3.
That was excellent. That was unprompted and excellent. Tim's on Twitter at Tim J. Sinclair. And he also, like he just said, does TV and is the CEO of Ringer, a company that I'm about to talk to him about, actually. So go check that stuff out. And Tim, thanks again for coming on. I'm sure
we'll
cross soon.